Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast. Okay, I'm going to begin reading John 1 because it's my favorite chapter in the Bible. And then I'll have them read some other verses. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I can't read this chapter without feeling the power of God. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, which, by the way, the Greek word for John, Ioanni, is grace. I bet you never thought of John the Baptist's ministry as a grace-filled ministry, but to God it is. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I hope you're paying close attention to the language, this glorious language. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, meaning Israel, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you know, if you would lean in right now, many of you who are shackled by the powers of the devil, do you know that while I'm reading, if you would give your heart and your full attention to what I'm reading, you could be set free right now? Do you know how powerful the Word of God is? I've got to be a pastor right now. We're going to have a little house cleaning here. Say thank you. Say Michael still loves me. Okay, good. Now I'm going to stab you. Last week, it was like, it looked like an aerobics class in here. So many of y'all were moving around. Now, I know we all have to go to the bathroom. I do it occasionally. I understand. Understand the need to use the bathroom. But last week, it was beyond that. Pastor Benny's teaching on the blood of Jesus. And a few of you got up like 5 times. Now, either you drank Tabasco sauce, a half bottle of it, and had bubble guts, or listen, the blood of Jesus doesn't stir your soul and you're not enamored by it. And this isn't for everyone. I realize this is a different crowd than Sunday morning. But at Jesus Image, we sit under the Word. This is not a weekly concert. It'll never be. When we first started, I remember over at Judah, some people would come in for the worship set and roll, which is proof they don't have a heart to worship. The Word produces true worship. My job is not, our job is not to lead you in music. Our job is to form you in Christ. It is impossible to have that without the Word. When the Word is rooted deeply within you, the only rightful response is worship. And this isn't the case, but last week, look, you guys are amazing, but last week I told Jesse, I've got to say something. We have a father in the faith who's been doing this for over 50 years. Teaching us about the most holy substance in the cosmos and in the heavens, the precious blood of Jesus, that is the very magnet for the life of the Holy Spirit. What could be more important than receiving a revelation of the blood? Now, if you've got to go, go and get back in. But if you just get bored, I just want to say right off the bat, the clock is not Jesus here. When we roll in, we stop when he's done. That's what we do. This will never be a cookie cutter, conveyor belt, celebrity church. We sit under the Word, receive it like it's the bread of life, and beg God for more. Now, if you have to pee while I'm preaching, I will not call you out. I just want to take authority so that we know how to be in God's presence. This is important. And I think, I don't know another church who's better at this, but I think it could have been just demonic distraction last week. Because you start talking about the blood and stuff gets stirred up. But I would rather you manifest in your chair. Actually, if you start manifesting, you can go in the lobby. Our team will deal with it. So I can keep preaching. We'll put David on you. But I want us to become very, very good at sitting at his feet and hearing his word. And you are, but it's my job to correct it when I see distraction. Distraction, listen carefully, is an enemy of the anointing. We are living in a world that is overly stimulated. We are living in a world that is so busy at a sensory level that we are not beholding the Lord. The devil is after your vision. I mean, your actual eyes. He's after your attention. He's after your thoughts. He's after busying your ears because he knows ultimately all roads lead to the soul, which ultimately lead to the heart. He's wanting a mixed, distracted, busy heart. I don't care. Look, the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows this is the truth. If I was not in the ministry, I'm telling you, I would fry my social media. The phone, like it's like the principality has shape-shifted in this generation. It's a cell phone that is fighting for your attention. And you just cannot find union with God looking at someone else. Joy Dawson used to tell me, bless her soul, how I miss her. She used to tell me, oh, darling boy, he changes the rules for nobody. It still requires stillness. It still requires solitude. It still requires communal life. It still requires the body and blood of Jesus. It still requires meditating and prayerfully digesting Holy Scripture. It still requires repentance and confession of sin. It still requires hours and hours of prayer year after year until the Lord starts to slowly, through a slow drip, open our blindness. This will never change. This isn't extreme. This isn't toxic. This is Christian. Yes. This is Christian. And when, you know, a few weeks ago, Carrie and Job and Cody came and they pulled our team in the back. They just wanted to worship the Lord on New Year's. And they grabbed our team in the back and they said, and they thanked me. They said, you should be grateful for a house that protects your purity. And we need, look, the heart of a Levite is to do what? Minister to the Lord and also carry a sword on your hip. To cut out mixture. It's just my job. I hope you feel loved by it. But I want to see you at the throne. And I want you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to gain as much of Christ as possible experientially in this life. That's my job as a pastor. Amen? Okay, do you receive it? All right, say Michael loves me. All right, now, back to who Jesus is. Let me keep reading. We'll start in verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me because he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him being the Father. Or another way of reading that verse in the Greek would be, he has perfectly exegeted the Father. That word means to unravel, to lovingly expose and reveal. Jesus is the Father's only message and sermon. Say that. Jesus is the Father's only sermon. We know this because of the only thing the Father preached in the New Testament. It was simply this. Whenever the Father spoke, "This is my Son. Hear ye him, or in whom I am well pleased." The Father has one thing or person to talk about. It is Jesus, and it will forever be Jesus. The Father's only, I'm just gonna do it. The Father's only sermon is not revival. I believe in renewal. I believe in the move of the Spirit. Of course. Gosh, I mean, I'm a son of that. But if you want to attract the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, you must be addicted to Jesus. And Jesus said of the Spirit, he won't even testify of himself. Proof positive of a life that's yielded to the Spirit is an addiction to the Son of God, who is perfectly defined the Father. Now, to get to a few prophetic words that I think are the Lord about this new Jesus movement, this new Jesus people movement. I believe that. Why else? God has never changed the subject. It's all he ever wanted. It was us who defined and settled for manifestations and turned those manifestations into God's message. But those manifestations are not God's message. Jesus is God's message. Those are manifestations that are supposed to turn our heart to the Lord himself. So if God moved in great joy, the move became all about laughter. If God moved in with great repentance and groaning, we labeled it as that. The whole time, all the Lord is trying to do is show us the joyful son, show us the weeping prophet, show us the one who grieves over the nations. And what we do is market the mere manifestation. God is attempting, and he's pulling out all stops in this last generation to build a church that would actually bite the hook and believe that Jesus is enough. And you say, well, why should I believe that? Because the Father believes it. The Father is convinced that Jesus is enough, or he would have never sent him. If the Father felt we needed something else, he would have never sent his Son. Somebody came here who I love. It was the funniest thing. And Jessie's the, she is the, how do I say it? The purity police around here, which I love. And this person came to school and said, oh man, it was awesome. Well, it wasn't awesome what he said, but it was awesome to see the reaction. This is what they said. Jesus is not all you need. And our students went, war paint. What? How can he who is all in all, who has filled everything with himself, who not only ascended, but descended into the lowest parts of the earth to fill all things with himself, who has filled the universe with himself, how can he who is all not be enough? So Jesse goes, with all due respect, you can't say that here. Why am I reading John 1? Listen, we need a biblical and clear vision of the Son of God again. I'm in and out of so many moments and environments, but I've just got to be honest. I'm deeply, and this isn't judgment, it's the heart of a pastor who wants you to experience the wonder of Christ Jesus. I'm standing here before you as someone who's been smitten. And by God's grace, the thought of changing the subject feels like a massive fall. I feel like I would have backslidden if I turned into a life coach next week here. Now, if you are, I'm not dogging you. I'm just saying, I can't find a higher, more glorious thing to talk about than the bosom of the Father, than the Father's only Son, than the perfect and holy righteous Lamb of God. My concern, this is my concern, is that when I'm in and out of places, I'm discovering that people are settling for mere excitement and high-pitched moments, whether they're driven by music, which, by the way, lyrically in some cases, aren't even about Jesus. This is not a criticism. I hope you hear it. It's like we're settling short of the river. And we're starting to believe that excitement can satisfy the soul. Now, I'd rather you be excited than dead and boring. But we've got to move beyond, as a generation, we've got to move beyond this thing. And I don't even know what to call it. But I'm discovering that when I break the scriptures on the road, when I start to open the text by the Spirit, there's a disengagement. That concerns me. But if the drummer takes off and the tempo goes up, there's an engagement. And I if there's going to be a real Jesus movement, we need Jesus. We don't need more savvy marketing. We actually need Him. Him, the real man from Galilee, dwelling among us, trusting us enough to reveal Himself to us. You must understand, when the Lord begins to reveal Himself to you, two things are happening. He's opening your eyes, and He's offering Himself to be more available. Both are glorious. Nobody encounters the Lord by accident on the Lord's part. Remember what John 2 says, that He did not give Himself to men because He knew what was in men. He needed no man teach Him about men. So He did not fully give Himself to them. When Jesus begins to reveal Himself to us, it is because He's beginning to trust us. We're not opening our own eyes. Nobody here can open the eyes of the heart. Nobody here can purify their own heart. Nobody here can scrub themselves clean. This is the work of the Spirit. It's the work of God. Are you understanding? So when the Lord starts to entrust Himself to us by a more clear vision, this is a holy thing. And I want to say, unless we behold Him, you can throw that Jesus movement stuff out the window. We need Him. We actually need Him. Now, if that's going to happen, listen carefully. This place, us, I can't speak into other environments. I have no authority in those environments, but I can speak here. And I'm not saying we don't do this, but there's more. I've been stirred up, in case you haven't noticed. I'm stirred up because the only way to protect what we have here is to go after Jesus more. A stagnant lack of, oh, this one gets me. All right. I'll do it in front of John because he'll like it. I don't understand how Jesus can be in a room. If we really believed He's in a room, I do not get, and I'm not saying I'll do this even though I'm standing next to you. Esther's like, my God, is it me? No. I don't get how leadership can do this during worship. Man, oh, I don't understand it. I don't understand if we're truly aware that the Jesus I just read about in John 1, who's before all things, who came before John the Baptist, preferred before him because he was before him, he's in the beginning. As the Word, the very divine expression, who is with God relationally, meaning God the Father, and He is God according to John 1, how can Jesus be in the midst and we settle to scroll on a phone? I don't get it. I don't get it. I've been places where while Jesus is being worshiped and while the Holy Scriptures are being taught, which, by the way, receiving the Scriptures is a matter of life and death. Receiving the Scriptures doesn't take an average day and make it a little better. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. Therefore, if I don't receive the word that proceeds from his mouth, it's a matter of life and death. I die inside. And the devil's caused us to choose between Scripture and his presence. It's a joke. The Scriptures are a heavenly window straight into the glory of God. They are charged with his breath. The Scriptures are the revelation of his heart put to paper, because only Jesus is so true to speak from the abundance of his heart. That's what he said. He said it's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Therefore, when I open the Bible, I can rest assured that I am reading his heart. Yes. What could be more valuable? I get stirred up. I don't get it. I'm so glad Pastor Benny taught us reverence. Yes. To hear the word of the Lord. I'm so glad he taught us that while Jesus is being worshiped, I shouldn't be talking about something else. What else is there to talk about? Yes. I've been in certain youth environments where we're singing Alleluia or some holy song, and they're kicking it, talking about other stuff, and yet they have the audacity to ask for his glory. This isn't old time. This is just Bible. He refuses to be approached without 100% focus. He doesn't understand it. When we first started Jesus Image, Jess and I were on a date. Or not Jesus Image, when we started the Sunday nights, and Jess and I were on a date, and I don't know if you remember this, but we saw these two millennials dating. They were both on their phone. And I looked at them, I'm like, babe, how good could this date be going? Literally, at a table, hopefully the dude's paying for it. These days, who knows? Maybe they split it. And they're both like this. And I'm thinking, how far could this go? How deep can this moment go? How much of the heart can actually be exchanged when the vision is placed elsewhere? And then after the end of the date, you know, one of them said, I just didn't feel like we connected. Oh, you think? Maybe not. How much more does Jesus have the right to demand our attention when he comes close? Now, he's always with us, always in us. But there is a sacred aspect to his presence that is only available when we gather as a family. He said, I will be there in the midst of you. We see this with the ancient church of Israel in Exodus 25. He says, create for me a habitation that I might come and dwell among you. He was omnipresent then when he said it. David and I were talking about this today regarding this type of teaching. And its relationship to church. He said there's a mindset out there that just believes that if we gather in any way, shape, or form as Christians, that Jesus promises to be there in the exact same way. It's not biblical. Exodus 25 teaches us that the Lord demands a specific design, a specific way of building if he's going to come live with you. And that's why he gives Moses the blueprint. It expresses his heart to be with us. But listen, we are with him on his terms. Are you getting it? So I don't care if Gen Z, or the new one is Alpha. I don't even give a rip about all the labels. Old people need Jesus. Young people need Jesus. Babies need Jesus. Well, I'm not into all of it. And I know 80% of this crowd is Gen Z. I love you. But these ancient pathways into the presence aren't moving for Gen Alpha. They're not moving for you, for anyone. They are what they are. He has determined the blueprint. See, if you don't receive, it's not just the preacher's fault. It's not just the worship leader's fault. It's so easy to go there. But if you read Mark 4 properly, and I've taught this so many times, if you read Mark 4 properly, we actually discover that the one who has a little loses what he has. And to begin that text, how many of you have heard me teach on that? Okay, how many of you have never? Good, most of you. Go to Mark 4. Quick, it always comes out different, so it'll be all right. I want to give you the ESV here, so just one second. Is this all right?
Yes.
I'm going to do it anyways. All right. Mark 4, we'll start in verse 13. Thank you, Lord. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So we see the parable of the sower is it's like an ATM code into the revelation of Jesus' parabolic ministry. The sower sows the word. Who sows the word? So tonight, as I'm preaching, the Son of God is scattering seed. That's pretty amazing. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Where is the wayside? It's on the side of the way. Super deep. It's on the side of the way. It is outside the experiential touch of his presence. It's in the realm of distraction. It's in the realm of settling for less than the beauty of his face daily. It's in the realm of having a big meeting, but not looking at him the next day. It's in the realm of sitting in a meeting like this tonight, and just hoping 9 o'clock comes quickly. It's in the realm of when your body is not tired, you not putting it under subjection. That's what Paul said. Daily, daily, I put my body under subjection. You know what he says after that? If by any means I myself be a castaway. The Apostle Paul. This body will be glorified one day when we receive a new one. Until then, it will fight you. You're like, I've never heard this before. I know, that's part of the problem. The passions of the body, the passions of the natural man, the limitations of the body that say, stay in bed, don't get up. You don't need him today. You don't need him today. It's too cold in my room. We live in Florida. How cold could it be? Get out from that little polka dot pink comforter that John has. Get to your recliner and go wait on God. John wears that little onesie with the three buttons on the back. The little white thermal one with the little hat with the poofy ball every night, man. Change your clothes, John. Get up and pray. I had to make y'all laugh, give you a little anesthesia. That's what happens. That's what the wayside feels like. And when you live by the wayside and the word is preached, the devil steals the word. Location, 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 location. Proximity to Jesus is everything if the word is not going to be stolen. Are you getting it? Mary receives the word from Gabriel. What does she do? Treasures it. The Greek word is she keeps it. She protects it. Her heart hovers over it. There's a hedge around it. Like the Shulamite says, a garden enclosed is my sister, speaking of the Lord's word. God, when he begins to speak, his desire is to build a garden in our hearts and then lock the garden gate so that only he can get in. And that's what happened with Mary. She kept the word, and I think she bore some fruit. I said, I think she bore some fruit. Gave birth to the Holy Son of God. That's what the wayside's like. The wayside throws in the towel when the weakness of the natural man starts to cry out. Let me say that another way. When the weakness and the comforts of the flesh rear their head, the people that live by the wayside say, you win. There's something beautiful about getting up before the sun. I'm not saying you have to, but you should. I would if I were you. You say, tell me, show it to me in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. Because if I don't, you have every right in the world to disagree with me. If it's not in the scriptures, I'm wrong. Jesus, up before the morning, seeking the Lord. David, early will I seek thee. Joshua, up the mountain to seek the Lord. Moses, by the way, before the sun is up. Moses, early in the morning, seeking the Lord. That's a good lineup. David, Jesus, Moses, Joshua. I'm going with them. I don't care who preached what. Just rest in it. Rest, enjoy. Yeah. Rest in the glory. Don't rest in your flesh. Come on. That's religion. No, it's not religion. It's glory. It's beautiful. Do you realize what one vision would do to your life? One touch? There have been so many Sundays here, or actually mostly at the school. Well, I'll come into the school and the world feels like it's caving in around me. The pressure, pain, it's a daily thing. And sometimes I'm wondering, how will I find anything to say? But there's something wonderful about building a reservoir over decades. That when that thing is tapped, what you stored up over decades starts to spill forth. If you beheld the Lord for a second, you'd have something to say to a whole generation. You had one revelation of the cross, the devils in hell would tremble. One. 30 seconds in an encounter with Jesus. As the scriptures open to you about his holy blood, hell would quake under your feet. But this stuff's not cheap. I said, it's not cheap. He is incredibly generous. He sows the word. You say, why would he ever sow by the wayside? Because he's generous. He scatters the seed of the word like this because it's his nature. And it's also a matter of his justice, so that at the throne one day, those by the wayside will never be able to say, I didn't hear you. Or I should say, I didn't listen to you. It's a matter of his kingdom justice. In the age to come, nobody will say, I just didn't know. Oh, yes, you did. I scattered that word so liberally, so generously, that I even scattered it by the wayside. Why don't you just get in behind me where the soil is beautiful, where the soil is stirred up, where the weeds have been removed, where there's moisture, the same moisture that watered Eden, that the Holy Spirit moisture that I exude as the Son of God. Why don't you just walk with me so that when I speak, a harvest is guaranteed. He's your protector. I said, he's your protector. Now, I want to save time, but trust me, this is in the Word. It's in Mark 4. Go read it tonight. God is so aware of the holiness of His Word. Recently, I was preaching, and people were laughing and goofing off. I thought, do you have any idea what the capability of the Word of God is? Do you have any idea what you're forfeiting? The Word of God formed the world. The world. Do you think His Word could heal your body? The Word of God keeps stars suspended in their proper location. Do you think the Scriptures could blow your depression out of your mind? I don't think. We need a revelation of the beauty of His voice. I know I can't do that for you, but it has to happen. It's got to. We have to be like Mary and just sit at His feet going, say it again, again, again. I don't care what you say. Say anything you want. Just speak. Just talk. Tell me to do. I don't even care if you tell me to do anything. I don't care if you give me a direction. If you just want to breathe and say anything. If you don't talk, David said, it's like I live in the pit. Speak. Speak to me. Break the bread of life. That's the type of heart Jesus is looking for. The way you come to Him will determine what you extract from Him. You don't come into Him. You don't come to Him with a lackadaisical heart. John knows what I'm talking about. He's been around. There's this thing where people are worshiping. You could be in a big arena, and the most famous worship leaders are doing this. Right or wrong? Networking instead of ministering to the Savior of the world. Every once in a while. We're not tipping Him. This is the wounded King of glory. Who's from the ancient past, as Micah says. Who's in the beginning. Who doesn't dwell in eternity. Eternity dwells in Jesus. This is the one. The one who not only, as I said, spoke the worlds, but listen to what the Scriptures say about Him. Upholds all things by the word of His power. And we do this. And then we have the audacity to demand the Jesus movement. Spare me. I'm glad I was raised by old, reverent, sage-like, Bible-loving people of prayer and presence. And I'm talking to everyone, all of you young people. Be that. Be that. Be the house that says, look, I'm forfeiting the bells and whistles for Jesus Himself. Teach us the way of our fathers. Teach us the faith that's been handed down once and for all. We need, what I've discovered recently more than ever, is we need worship leaders and musicians who I believe we have here. But we all have a long way to go. We need worship leaders and musicians around the world who, when they play a chord, are looking for weight and moisture. Who, when they write a song, are making sure it's actually Bible. Who, when they write to the Lord, as the Lord being their source. Who write about the Lord and for the Lord. From Him, to Him, and through Him. That's the only acceptable sacrifice. This is what we need again. We need people who reject the God of their stomachs. Who have the hunger to reject a meal so that their connection to this world dissipates and they find a food that is heavenly. I know I'm talking about a lot, but I'm stirred up in the most glorious way. This is who we are. I said, this is who we are. This is where we're going. This is not works. This is love. Now, let me end with this. Help me there, Joel. Jesus says about this seed. And the context, if you read Mark 4, is his voice. Because he says, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The context is who can hear God? Who can hear God? Jesus school students, young people who've come in, I believe from all around the world tonight, you will not have a different route than any of us. He's not going to change the manual for you. If it takes hours with God for us, it's going to take hours with God for you. If it's going to take multiple fasts a year for us, it will take multiple fasts for you. If it's going to take serving, yeah, I said it, men and women of God and your local church, it's going to take that for you. Whether you think that's unhealthy leadership or not, it is the way into the river of glory, period. Death to self, preferring a brother, preferring a father, preferring a mother above us is still holy. Not going to morph it, not going to shift it, not going to make it more palatable. But this context of hearing, regarding the Lord speaking, this is what he says about it. I want you to hear this. He says, he who has a little, even what he has, will be taken. And he who has much, more will be given to him. Maybe you're like, that's not fair. God has never been fair. Yeah. He's just. Yeah. So he takes what God, listen, if you don't steward, if John tonight is receiving a word from heaven, John has a choice. He can take this seed tonight and steward it. Protect it and treasure it, and then John will receive more. But if John doesn't steward what he's hearing tonight, he will lose it. Now, here's the wild part. Let's never forget what I'm about to tell you. The only way to keep what God said to you is to lean into what he's saying to you. You missed it. The only way to protect every prophetic utterance throughout the decades of your life is to come to the burning bush today. What God is saying protects what God said to me. But if I don't find the burning bush to be glorious this morning, I will forget what God said to me 5 years ago. And this is what the Lord does. He takes what God has spoken now to John tonight. And he finds rivers as being hungry. Even though she might have loads more, he gives it to her because he can trust her. And that's why it looks like a few people get a lot from God. It's not that they're great. It's because he trusts them. I want that for us. I don't ever want this house to be the place where we get used to what God is doing. No. Stir up that thing inside. Stir up that well. And come to Jesus every day. Amen. I'd like the communion elements to be passed out. Have they been? I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come. Do you receive that tonight? I know I'm... We need this, guys. We need to keep coming to the feet of the Lord.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit jesusimage.tv.